And our sermon, Does God Meet Your Expectations? Do you meet God's expectations? From the Word of God, Luke writes in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, we're reading down through verse 14 in the New Testament. The former priest have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In Matthew 28, we looked at that last week, all power was given unto Jesus, both in heaven and in earth. And then he says here in his last words before he's taken up into heaven, that power is given to us. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to preach and to teach and to tell everyone, Jerusalem, Judea, all of Israel, all of the Roman Empire, all the world, into the uttermost parts of the world. How do we do it? We have that power from Christ. He's received all power. He has all power over heaven and earth. And so now he's given it to us by the Holy Spirit, which indwells within us as a Christian. A lot of times people just stop at the saved part. I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm going to go to heaven. There's so much more to it, isn't there? There's so much more power to be able to tell people how to change their life, how to rejuvenate their life, how to have a new life in Christ. And that's what missions is all about. 6 billion people on this planet. I love our globe over here, our map. That should be a globe, but it's just a flat map. It's the world, right? 6 billion people. Most of them are over here in China and India. When I went into Africa, I was coming back from Johannesburg down here, and we were taking a red-eye flight all the way back to Dubai here. And you would think of straight lines here, but the curve of the earth kind of goes this way. And around 2 o'clock in the morning, I opened up my window outside, and Africa is so huge that it just goes on and on and on, 8 hours over Africa, basically, from Dubai there all the way to Johannesburg, 500 mile an hour. And it's just land after land after land. And at night, it's dark. There's nothing down there. You could see maybe little fires here and there, but civilization is far apart. You really have to struggle to see where the lights are. And they're usually in these big cities. And on this one occasion, around about 2 o'clock in the morning, It was all dark, especially you could kind of see the difference between the land and the sea, and it was clear at 30,000 feet. No clouds whatsoever. I could see all the way to the land, and then some light start to appear. And then this city in a crescent shape with hundreds of thousands of lights appeared, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen from an aircraft. And that city is right by an archipelago, and the archipelago and the city lit up in its crescent shape, and it was so beautiful. As I'm going back from our missions trip in Zambia and seeing this city, this beautiful city of lights by the Indian Ocean on the west coast or the east coast of Africa there, and I'm going, who are these people? What are they doing? What do they do for jobs? What do they do for work? And more importantly, who's telling them about Jesus? Where do they go to church? How are they going to know? Because just because they have a beautiful city doesn't mean that they have the beauty of Christ within them. And it just struck me. I was awestruck by that scene at 2 o'clock in the morning, and to be able to see that. Jesus says that he is the light, and we need to carry that light to places like Africa, to places like India, to places like China. I like this quote from this man named Jimmy Draper. He said, "You must not ask what place missions will have in your life. The question is, what place will your life have in world missions?" A little bit of a different play on it. Just like, do we meet God's expectations? I love how the Bible's connected. It's connected with New Testament to Old Testament. And we separate the new and the old for various reasons. But in reality, the Bible is written by one author. It's just one book, the history of man, his story, God's story, his story. And it's God's story to us. It's his letter to us. And so the Bible's interconnected. I want to show you this morning three men in the book of Acts that are connected all the way back to Noah and his family. And these men are the Ethiopian, the Apostle Paul, and a centurion named Cornelius. And these three men represent the world. Let's start off with Acts, if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 8. Verse 27, let's introduce ourselves to the first man that represents all of humanity in the Bible. Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, and we'll very quickly cut it off when we find him. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia." That's it. A man of Ethiopia. Philip, one of the disciples, is going to witness to him. And then back a little ways to verse chapter 8 and verse 1, and two simple words, and Saul, a man, a Pharisee, consenting to the death of Christians, who's going to change his name to Paul a little later on. And then in chapter 10 and verse 1, there is a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band, a soldier. Now, one of these men was the son of Ham. Another of these men was the son of Shem. Another one of these men, Cornelius, was the son of Japheth. Ham, Shem, and Japheth were sons of Noah that came off of the ark, representative of all of humanity, of whom we come from, and the places where they settled and where they were at. They were sons of Noah. They came out of the ark. They represented humanity. It's a fascinating picture that we have of global missions right here in the book of Acts. And it starts with Noah and his ark. The world starts over again by a great cataclysmic flood. That's hard to say, cataclysmic, isn't it? Cataclysmic flood. The entire world was flooded. And in the process, are you ready? Renewed into a new world. The world is starting over again with the cross of Jesus and the kingdom that he's setting up, a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth that he's giving. It's a new beginning, except it's not by a renovation by the flood. It's a renovation by his blood, whom the world is covered by. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a new beginning. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at this new beginning in the book of Acts, because Acts is the beginning of the church, the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of this new life through the Holy Spirit. First, turn to Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Very important verse of where all this comes from, the need for missions. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? All men, for all have sinned. Ham sinned, Shem sinned, Japheth sinned, Noah sinned, Methuselah sinned, Enoch sinned, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. One man sinned into the world, all people, all races, all cultures, all of them need the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them need to hear the gospel. Notice each one comes from different background. Acts 8:27. Let's look at the Ethiopian. Now back to the book of Acts just a little way. We'll look at these men that we read about. Acts 27. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. Notice the difference between these men as we look at them. A eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. A man of wealth, a man of intelligence, a man of power. Saul, let's look at this man. What kind of man was Saul? Acts chapter 9, Saul was a scholar. He was a lecturer. He was a religious man. He was full of zeal and passion for God himself. And then Cornelius in chapter 10, a military man, a mighty man. I would even call him a man's man. Anybody who has to lead 100 men is a man's man, a man who knows about military tactics. Very confident in himself. Three different men, three different backgrounds, three different cultures. All of them have a hidden hunger. Every single one of them. All of them have a desire for more. And all of them were searching for more. The world is searching. They're searching and they're trying really hard to find meaning to their life. They're trying really hard to fix what's broken. They're trying really hard to become alive even though they're dead. They're dead not only on the inside, but they're dead spiritually. And they're searching to fix this deadness. They're searching and they're filling their world with the things of the world in hopes that they can be happy, in hopes that they can be joyous, in hopes that there can be peace in their lives, but it never quite gets there. It never fulfills what they need. Jesus said that life does not consist in the abundance of things. It doesn't work that way. He is life. In fact, that's what he says. Jesus says, life is me. Jesus says, I am the life. I was talking with a man this week, and we were talking about philosophies and ideologies and which side that you lean on. And he asked me, he says, well, what's your ideology? What's your position that you take? What's the person that you follow? This ideology or that ideology or this bent and that bent? I said, I really don't have an ideology. I just follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He is my all in all. I don't have any other way to turn to. Communism isn't the way to turn to. You say, well, you ought to be a capitalist, but I'm not really a capitalist. You say, I should turn to this ism or that ism or this belief or that belief, and this is the way that you should. There is only one way, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was kind of set back. Well, that's it? That you just believe in Jesus? I said, what else do you want me to believe in? He is the way to eternal life. He is the way to eternal joy. He's the way to eternal peace. Why should I follow some other way? He's the way. This is the way the world is unfortunately following. They're following all the other ideologies. They're following all the other systems. Have you ever heard of all the other things that you can do? Everybody's got something for you. They got something for your weight. They got something for your height. You can wear high heels. They got something for your hair. They got something for your life. They got something for your family. They even got something for your church. What really provides lasting joy and peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian went to Jerusalem to worship. He made the journey, think about it, all the way from Ethiopia, which is down there by the Horn of Africa, close to it, all the way to Jerusalem. Why? He was hoping to find some answer to puzzling questions of life. He's coming back in his chariot. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. He's trying to find the answers. He just can't seem to get it. It's right at his fingertips. And yet, he's lost. And he's searching. Next was Saul, the Pharisee of Pharisees. He's the best of the best, by the way. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He sat under the feet of this guy called Gamaliel. Gamaliel, from what we're told, is the teacher of teachers, the one that everyone went to find advice for Old Testament scriptures and to be close to God. He sat at his feet. He's the highest of the high, religiously speaking. But yet, something is missing from Saul's life. When he sees Jesus, everything changes, though, doesn't it? All the degrees, all the statues, all the status that you have, it seems pale in comparison to when we meet Jesus. What about Cornelius? Rough, tough, raised in the military. Tactics. He has all the answers in regards to military formations and when to get up and the discipline that it takes to be a soldier and to continue on the fight in the war. But yet, he was lost. He was lost. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Being religious doesn't save you. Being religious doesn't save you. There's a story out of Romania when the communists took over. They told the people there that you can be religious. You can be very religious. You can do all the religion that you have. There's only one thing that we command you not to do. And that one thing was that you must not, you will not say that Jesus is the only Savior. You must not and you will not say that Jesus is Lord. The reason why is because Nicolae Ceaușescu would be the Savior. Nicolae Ceaușescu will be the Lord of Romania over the Communist Party. I have to tell you that was back in 1989 when the Soviet Union collapsed and Romania was one of the last of the communist states to collapse. And they took Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife and they shot him. You can believe men all you want. You can believe their tactics and their ideologies all they want, but they only come to a certain point until they're dead. And they're, as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. I'd much rather follow Jesus. I'd much rather tell people about Jesus. I'd much rather support missionaries like the Williams who teach and preach people in Spain about Jesus. That's what I want for our church and for me and for you. Whether it's in Jacksonville, Russia, Spain, Africa, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, it's a world of darkness out there. and they're lost. They don't know. They don't know that it's the God that they're searching for. They're dead on the inside. They need to be made alive. The only one that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see this in chapter 8 and verse 35. What changed Saul, a man that persecuted Christians, a man that stood at the feet of Stephen when he was stoned to death? What changed Saul into the Apostle Paul? One of our prolific writers in the New Testament gives us Galatians, Ephesians, Romans, Timothy, and Philippians. What changed him? I want us to notice this here, Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And he said, this is Paul, Saul talking, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, are you ready? "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." That's what changed him. That's it. He met Jesus. He respected. He knew who God was. He studied who God was and believed in God. And Jesus warns us, even the devils believe in God. But do you have a relationship? Are we speaking to the one who died for us? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian, what changed his life? What helped him understand what he was reading? That's in Acts 8:35. "And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Jesus. What changes people's lives over and over and over and over again? It's not a lecture on creationism. It's not a lecture on evolutionism. It's not a lecture on Catholicism. It's not even a lecture on baptisms. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then Cornelius, a man totally different than the Ethiopian or the Apostle Paul. And there was a certain man in Caesarea, and this is in Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." That's how Cornelius was saved. He finally learned of the one who died for him. It was of Jesus of Nazareth. Not a marketing ploy, not a some clever idiom made up, but the truth which was given to them. And I love that too. Jesus is the truth, isn't it? Notice that there's something interesting about our entire missions month here. And I learned this just this week, by the way, with listening to some sermons. What God's saying to Philip, speaking to the Ethiopian, what God's saying to Paul, what God's saying to the centurion, is what God is saying to me. And that is go. The word go. And that's our theme of our missions conference, is to go. And so I'd like us to do this. Spell gospel. G-O, stop right there. Go is in gospel. And of course, the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins upon a cross and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Now spell good news for me. G-O. Stop right there. You know, I can go on and on with this. There's go in everything that we're supposed to do. It's not just a matter of belief. It's a matter of action. For us to go, to send missionaries. And I know a lot of us, I know we can't physically or literally go over to Africa or to India, but we can go with our prayers, can't we? We can go with our finances, can't we? And how about we can go with our internet connection to give them a word of encouragement and say, keep on going. We're praying for you. There's a lot of ways that we can go with our ministry and with our influence to see people around the world be saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so blessed here at Calvary. Do you know that? We hear about Jesus day in and day out here. We hear about him. We study God's word. We sing great songs. One of my songs that I love is Saved, 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 Glory, I'm Saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, saved, glory, I'm saved. And man, I just love that song. I get into it. I say, this is wonderful. I'm saved. I'm saved by the crucified one, the one who loved me, the one who died for me. And I get excited about it. There's people who's never heard that. There's people who's never even heard about Jesus. And we're so blessed to be able to praise his name and to thank him for our salvation, to thank him for the love that he's given to us and the love that we can spread all over the place. But there's some that's never even heard. There's people in this whole world that's never heard. Question is, what do you want me to do? Paul asked that. Lord, what do you want me to do? He's told us, didn't he? Go. That's what he wants. He wants us to go. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here today and you're not sure, 100% sure, that if you died right now that you go to heaven, make this the day. Make this the time that you settle it today. I want to be saved. Now, I know today's message is primarily for Christians. What can we do to promote missions? What can missions do, not in my life, but what can my life do for missions? I hope that's your prayer for not only this month, for the rest of this year, that on purpose, you'll say, Lord, I want to go. I want to be a part of your great plan that you have for me. I pray that's your prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great word, how it reveals itself to us. From the beginning of time, you had a plan for this world. You had a plan for each and every one of us. And each and every one of us, no matter that we're how different that we are, and no matter how different that the people in the world are, there's one thing, there's one person that breaks through that old tomb, and that's your word. The power to raise people from the dead, the power to change somebody's life. Lord, we want that power in our life. We ask for it. We want to go. We ask that in your name, right here, right now, as Calvary Baptist Church, to be the sending ones, to send out people, to send out monies, to send out prayer, to be the sending ones for your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.